How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, your friend, Susie Ruffle.
And me, yes, your friend, Tom
Sure.
Allen.
Sure. You know me, just trying to keep it fresh.
Oh, I like that, Susie. I just wasn't ready. I was like, do I say the same thing or is that lazy if I just repeat
No.
what's done so creatively?
Are you wearing a zippy up with nothing underneath?
Please don't be alarmed, listeners. It is zipped up also.
I know it's zipped up. I'm not. There is no knocking here. I didn't know if you were going to like
cleavage.
Yeah, coquettishly.
I'm up here, Susie.
If you were going to coquettishly sort of pull the zip down.
I'm not that sort of zoomer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not anymore. But the I am because I didn't. We do this in the mornings, listeners.
We do.
And I, well, tend to sleep until quite late, and
sure.
So. I didn't. I don't like to do this in my pajamas.
I think you should feel free to do this in your pajamas.
Do you think though?
It's only me that sees it, and I've seen you in your pajamas before. I don't know what you think.
It wouldn't be a scandal for the listeners. That's what I worry about.
Well, you'll bring like a silk pajama energy.
Yes, actually, they're quite nice. They're stripy.
Of course they are.
But what I'm struggling with at the moment, and I know this is a place where people bring their real problems. Do you ever find a pajama top can become twisted in the night, and that can really. Really unrelax me.
Well, I think that means you're probably too wriggly.
Well, I always thought I was quite a stoic.
I wouldn't imagine you're a wriggly boy in the bed.
No. Well, I don't think I am. Often, I can get out of a bed and it's made. Do you know what I mean?
You've just not moved.
I've not moved, yeah. I'm like Tutankhamun there.
Yeah, that's how I sort of imagine you. Yeah, like Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, that exactly like Sleeping Beauty, yeah.
Do you hold a rose in your hands?
I do, and often, you know, the thorns do
well, of course.
Catch. Yeah. It's a place to have it with my Egyptian cotton, but but yes, sometimes it just wriggles and then, or the pajama top is just like caught a little bit as I've turned, and then it feels like it's constricting me.
Oh, you've woken up in a corset.
Basically, yes, a cottony corset of my own making. Oh.
Does it make you want to lean out the window and sing Who Will Buy?
Well, I want to do that every day, Susie.
Well, of course.
Of course I do.
Of course you do. Can I just ask, now it's the 24th of September today, has Alfie started watching Christmas films yet?
He started at the weekend, yeah.
I knew he would have.
He made those cookies and had a glass of milk and watched Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square.
Oh.
I mean, it's too much. It's too much.
He absolutely loves it. He's yeah. absolutely gay for it.
He's gay for Christmas. He loves it, which is such a new thing to me because, you know, Mother, God bless her.
Mother.
Mother, she is always somebody who will, well, when we grow up, it's like, oh, no, don't put the tree up yet. It's a mess. No, I want a Hoover. No.
Yeah. Don't have a real one.
Don't have.
Does your mum say that sort of thing? My mum would say
yes.
that sort of thing.
Oh, you know, oh, all the neat. Oh, I think it's such a lot of mess.
Yeah. Terrible.
Nice, but is it worth it? And then, and you know, oh, it's a lot, it's all right for you, kids. But, you know, it's me.
I'm the one doing the hoovering.
Yeah.
Did your mum used to refer to the housework as the work? I've got to do my work this morning. My mum always would.
That's nice.
And it is work. Don't get me wrong. This isn't me knocking it. I think that, you know, that sort of stuff really is work.
But
just the way she would remark on it, she'd be like, got to do my work this morning.
Got to do my work.
Got to do the work this morning.
It's true. It's true. Well, and the home always looks spotless.
Well, listen, as you know, Anne Ruffle and indeed myself, two very house proud women.
Very house proud.
Very house proud.
An underrated value in all of us.
Well, you know, I don't mind people knowing. Now,
Tom, have I told you that I'm having built-in wardrobes made?
Well, that's very interesting.
I thought you would be.
I'm just in the middle of having some shelves built.
Oh my God, Tom.
We used to talk about going out clubbing.
I hope the man with the hammer's listening.
Greg, man with the hammer's got his book out, doing very well.
Oh, maybe I should read that. It would give me some ideas for my
built-ins.
From the built-ins. Although he's got that.
He's like, this always sounds like some sort of contraceptive device. The built-ins.
You know the built-ins. She's on the implant and he's at a built-in, so they'll be fine.
They'll be fine. There'll be no more for them. What are you worried about? Have you designed?
I've sort of let the carpenter get on with it, if I'm honest.
Like Joseph, yeah.
That's right. And lovely jackets. And I'm thinking Joseph in his Technicolor Dreamcoat, and of course you're thinking Joseph, Jesus' father.
No, but it's fine. I'm sure.
I think there's a crossover, do we think?
Well, there's definitely a cross.
Very good.
Very good.
He's only just up, but he's.
I know.
He's always on. He's always on.
I tell you, actually, in the mornings, I'm quite sharp, but I don't embrace it because I prefer to sleep.
Do you get blunted as the day goes on?
Oh, I tell you, by the time.
By the time it rolls around to showtime.
Oh, I'm like a Phillips screwdriver. Absolutely. Flathead.
So we had some wardrobes in the bedroom when we moved into the house.
Okay.
They were fine, but I remember when we first looked around the house, Alice sort of whispered to me when the people that lived there were out of the way, oh, I'd have to get rid of those cupboards. So we knew that that in time, and indeed 2 years later, here we are.
Like me when I was like, I'm not sure I like that grey. And it took me 3 years to go, let's change the grey.
Yeah, but it's important because it's your house. You know, you do bits at a time.
Absolutely.
So we're having some very nice wardrobes built. Just some hanging room, some shelving room.
Lovely.
That's sort of it. A cupboard right at the top that is perfect. Big enough to fit a small suitcase.
Oh, perfect.
My little travel suitcase when I go to work. Out the way, and the cupboard shuts down so you don't see it. Oh, a dream.
A dream, absolute dream to have that sort of fluid storage for when one is travelling a lot. I think it's very important.
Also very excited about the fact that when you open the door, the light's going to come on, which I know you have in your room, which I've been inspired by.
I don't
the upstairs.
I don't have that in the wardrobe. I have that in the kitchen.
I thought you had it in the upstairs.
No, working on it.
Oh, it's the kitchen.
Jaffa, my brother's friend, the electrician, has promised me, but he said it is quite it's a big undertaking.
Right.
I said, please don't talk about mine.
Don't talk about your death.
yes.
Yes, because you've got those lovely lights that came on when you make a coffee, which makes it look like you're about to do a solo.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Coffee.
Exactly. It's exactly like Waitress. And the trouble is they're on a timer though, so sometimes I'll leave those doors open to shed some light on the room, perhaps when we have people around.
Perhaps.
And they go off after 15 minutes, so then we have to do a waving thing. You can change the timer. I mean, it's not a big issue.
It's not rocket science.
It's the sort of thing that people I know like to hear about. So what sort of doorknobs are you going to have? These are the things which perplex me.
Now, what's it called? We're having what's it called when they've got like a little cutout within it?
Within the door, within the handle?
Yeah, no, within the door. There's like a special word for it.
A bit of beading, bit of panelling.
It's just sort of decorative panelling, Tom.
Okay, I can see it.
Decorative panelling. And now I don't know whether we're having a handle or whether it's a press and release.
Oh, I say, that's very streamlined.
I can't remember. And we've
I like that.
We're going for a grey on the walls.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say with like a mauve hue underneath it.
Within the grey?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like
a mauvey grey.
Yeah, just it's grey, but it's sort of nodding its head to a mauve.
I get it. Yeah.
Sure.
And then a brassy handle, a chrome handle, a brushed brass, antiqued brass.
We just don't know.
Reeded, plain, beveled.
Did we talk about this last week on the podcast?
No.
No?
It's something that's been running through my mind a lot, so
good.
I'm glad.
Thank God for that. Thank God.
I'm
for
always
that.
Glad to talk about a brassy doorknob.
Of course you are. Brassy knobs.
Brassy knobs and my new shop opening in the lanes.
It would sell.
Actually, that would be a good shop. It wouldn't be good actually to have it in the lanes because you'd want to do a bit of trade and
yes.
There'd be bad access.
Yes, very bad access. Is someone in your house or did a ghost just walk past your door?
Oh, that's the ghost. No, that's Alfie.
Great.
I didn't close the door probably because the bag is hanging on the handle.
Of course.
He might pop in. We did make some space in the back room where he keeps his clothes mm-hmm. for me to record there. But the next door started hoovering their leaves, I think. So.
Oh, that was good of them. Now, we've had quite a lot of emails. Should we do some emails this week? Oh.
Yes, so just to Alfie, you know, the door is ajar. Susie can see you.
I didn't see that
he's
he was
dressed.
Nude.
He's dressed. He is
I
dressed.
Saw him, telling me I saw him nude.
He says he's dressed. He is dressed.
Oh, my goodness. He's nude.
He's
hi,
not,
darling.
He's got
his clothes on. I'm just being dramatic.
I know.
There was something that we were talking about before we came on air, though,
sorry.
And I thought...
Oh, yes.
That's a good thing to talk about. And I've immediately forgotten what it was, Tom. Do you remember?
What was it? We were talking about stress.
Oh, God.
Being busy.
We can't do this every week.
Being busy... sometimes you just want a bitch.
Oh, yes. That is... Okay, so Alice and I have started doing this, and I think it's really important. And by the way, I don't think we're the first person to say it, but this morning you were saying that you had quite a stressful day yesterday, and then I did the thing that I always do, which is I tried to fix it for you because I'm a people pleaser. There's actually nothing that I can do because I can't go back in time and make your day less stressful. I can't do anything about the traffic yesterday.
Sure.
And Alice and I have started doing this thing where we say, look, do you want suggestions or do you want a bitch?
Right. Very good.
And I think that's really useful.
Very useful because sometimes you just want to let off steam.
Yeah. And what you don't need is me going, how about this? How about that?
The only thing with that sometimes is that when I speak to my therapist, sometimes she will be like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And that's nice. But the trouble is because I haven't done that, I feel like I can't do the things she's telling me to do. I then feel even more stressed.
Yes.
Because I haven't thought of those things. I feel stressed.
Sounds like you're, as always, being really quite hard on yourself, Tom.
Well.
You okay, dear?
No. Well, I mean, I am. I suppose I do have a self-critical streak.
Sure.
So, you know, there's that. But... Yes, I mean, there is that. And I'm sort of, as I've got older, I have sort of learned to accept that I do have that kind of inner monologue, which is quite punishing. But sometimes it's not there. So that's good. But it's usually not there when I'm feeling busy and fulfilled. So that means that rest becomes quite unpleasant.
It's about learning how to be fulfilled when you're resting.
Yes, that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
Which I think is harder than...
Harder
than it sounds.
Because people say, why don't you just relax at home? And I go, well, if I sit at home, I'll do one of two things. I'll scroll on my phone for ages.
So bad for you.
And I'll do that until I find something to stress about. Or I'll get drunk in the house. And I don't think either of those is sanctioned by therapists.
No, I think you're right. I had a couple of days last week where I felt like really low energy-wise. Not so much mood, but like... I just felt fucking knackered and I hadn't even been as busy. Like I've been busier before. I've gone through like busier periods, but I laid on the sofa on a morning and I was like, am I ill? I couldn't put my finger on what it was.
Sure. I can relate to that.
And then I feel really guilty because I'm like, oh, look at you on the sofa. And then Alice was like, but you didn't get in from your gig until midnight.
This is
so people don't, you know, the rest of the world will get in from work and then relax.
Yeah.
For that
when
bit.
Is your time to do that?
Yeah. But I found it very difficult not to feel enormously guilty. And like, it's that thing that like my dad instilled in me, like, get up, get a job, do something. Don't just sit there all day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like my dad would say, if you want something done, ask a busy person. As in, the more you're doing, the easier it is to do more.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I remember working with someone and I said to her, what have you got on next? As we were finishing the project. And she said, I'm going to prioritize rest.
Oh,
and I thought, like,
was it Angela Scanlon? She's very good with that sort of thing.
No, but is she?
Yeah, very good with that sort of. Well, whenever I talk to her, I always have a very calming experience because she sort of inspires me to
Is she very good at just sort of being still?
I think, yeah. Or, you know, like acknowledging those feelings.
That's good.
Which is part of it, isn't it, once they're acknowledged?
Yes, I think so. I like her a lot. I like her on the radio.
I do too.
And yeah. I've met her a handful of times and I think she's really super.
Oh, I thought you'd spent more time with her than that.
We maybe did a job together once, like a little panel thing. And then I've been on her radio show and then we've done the crossover at Virgin a handful of times. So yeah. I don't like know her, but I really like her. Every time I chat to her, I'm like, oh, you're good vibes.
Yeah, she's very good vibes.
Yeah, good for her.
Good for her.
Good for her, baby.
But sorry, I interrupted you. Sorry, your friend who advised.
Well, I've obviously forgot. No, that was it. That was just like some people are just like, oh, the next month is about me like really resting. And that's like a hugely privileged position as well. I am very aware there are people listening being like, oh, fuck off. And I can't do that.
I mean, I feel like I would struggle to do that.
Well, I sort of feel like I can't do it because of the fear that work will go away. So I couldn't be like, I'm having a month off, because I'd be like, well, what about if everyone forgets about me?
Well, even if I book myself like a little relaxing treat, like a massage, for example, I don't know if any of our listeners ever do that. I will spend the whole massage stressed about the way my head is sat, where like, am I supposed to have my arms down? Or am I supposed to have my arms like by my sides or up above my head? I can't remember.
Yeah, but I'm scared of getting it wrong. They have to tell you where to put your hands.
I know.
What about going for something like a pedicure?
I do like a pedicure, actually.
Yeah, pedicure's nice.
I do really like that, but I do feel like guilty.
Why? No,
I can't, like, this person I've asked them to, you know, make my feet nice. It sort of feels a bit.
But I think, I mean, I would say if you want to make a lot of money, become a chiropodist.
Oh, sure.
Which I know isn't really a pedicure. It's more, but like, it, you know, it's more than a pedicure, obviously. But like, honestly, because it's not free on the NHS, there's a chiropodist near me.
Oh, coming out the door.
Ah, they're printing money.
Ah.
Honestly.
That's interesting.
Become a chiropodist or a dentist. That's my advice.
Oh, yeah, become
or
a dentist.
Or get a trade.
Or become a plumber or a carpenter.
Ah.
Not as in the group from the brother and sister. Dream Team or Sabrina.
Yes.
Sabrina Carpenter, of course, the third member of that group.
Gosh, she's having a moment.
Oh, I'll tell you. Well, let's just show you what a coffee can do for you.
Well, that's right. Maybe we should drink more coffee. That's the reason I was late on the call this morning. I was having a French press. Still from America.
Still American. Gosh.
Which I know you hate.
Gosh.
Now, we have some emails from our friends.
I was about to say, we've had lovely emails from our friends, haven't we?
Oh, okay, good. I thought that I'd...
No, I picked up my phone... Not because I was like, yeah. Anyway, Suze, I'm just going to check my social media. I just wanted to explain what I was doing.
Oh, fine. We've got a lovely one here from Mark Holding. I don't know what he's holding, but.
What are you holding, Mark?
What are you holding on to? Can I just say, love, love, love the show. Love it even more when I feel totally seen. As you, Susie, mentioned putting salt on butter on bread or toast.
Obscene, more like, Mark.
This is the decadence I am looking for in a queer podcast. I thought I was alone. You're never alone, Mark. We're holding on to each other.
Never alone.
Have you considered changing the name to Gout-Minded Friends? Five times 20, Mark. Kiss, kiss.
Oh, gout. Now there's a topic I'd love to discuss. Yeah. Great. How nice. Well, is that lovely? Is that lovely? Oh, well, this was a lovely one from Hannah.
Right.
Dear Susie and Tom, I wanted to tell you how much your podcast has meant to me since I discovered it early this year. I always wanted to be a mum, but as a queer woman, I never thought it would happen. I finally decided to take the plunge as a single mum by choice last year. And with the help of an amazing queer friend who agreed to be a sperm donor. My baby girl was born in April. Like Tom, I've moved back to my parents' suburban home to save for a deposit at the grand old age of 35, which is both wonderful and challenging. Like-minded friends has really got me through the ups and downs of all this. So I wanted to thank you both. I even had you playing to calm me down in the labor room.
Wow.
Much to the midwife's confusion.
Oh my God, Tom, we were present at a birth.
Thanks again. I hope that you're both doing well, Hannah. I was rather moved by that.
I was very moved by that as well, Hannah. Thank you so much. Yes, I really know how you feel about always wanting to be a mum, but not knowing whether it would happen being a queer person. So good for you. Good for you.
Absolutely. Good for you. And I wonder what episode it was.
I really hope it was one we were talking about called The Midwife.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Could you imagine if a midwife was hearing Kill the Midwife constantly?
It would be a very traumatic.
Very traumatic, actually.
Very upsetting day for them. But I mean, I'm sure they'd enjoy our little spoofs of it. I mean.
Yes.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Wow, I would, for sure.
For sure, for sure.
We've got another lovely one here. Dear Susie and Tom, I was just listening to Kicked in the Orchestras, where Susie found a snail in her pocket. Yes, indeed I did. If you missed that episode, I mean, that's literally what happened. I got to my bedroom, put my hand in my pocket, and there was a snail in there.
So upsetting.
Yeah, an odd texture.
I'll say it.
An odd texture when you're not expecting it.
I wouldn't have enjoyed it, no.
Oh, no, I think you would have screamed. What do you think about those big slugs that are around at the moment with the orange bellies?
Oh,
I've absolutely hate.
Absolutely seen those everywhere.
The oh, they're horrible.
Have to go out and
yeah, my daughter poked one with a stick and then they get really small. I did tell her to stop before any sort of slug enthusiasts get in touch. But they are really, and then their little tentacles. Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
The garlic really helps with them, by the way. Does repel
them. Well, I don't want them to have bad breath as well.
They, honestly, my vegetable patch is like a pre-dressed salad. It's lovely.
Right, back to this. When I was at uni doing zoology, I was in a practical class where we were dissecting fish.
Oh.
Oh, I... Blah. this was 1988 when you were allowed to do that sort of thing.
Was it in batter?
That's the only way I've ever done it. Anyway, I was working and away and I needed a pen. I put my hand in my pocket and squealed as I pulled out a fish eye. It was cold and slimy. The two lads I was working with were in fits because, of course, they had put it in there, the cheeky swines.
Lads, lads, lads.
Lads, lads, lads in a lab. Lab, lab, lab.
Labs, labs.
I'm not a like-minded friend, but I'm very proud of my stepsister, Sue, who found her true self at the age of 50. After over 20 years of marriage to her husband, she's now divorced and has a lovely girlfriend / fiancé, and she is living her best life. I am so happy for her. Love the podcast. I listen every week. Lots of love. Bye-bye-bye-bye-bye. And that's Donna in Chester.
Gosh, Donna, you've had a lot happen to you, haven't you?
Well, I'm wondering what Donna's doing now. Donna, could you sort of get in touch and let us know? Because you did zoology. You know how to dissect a fish. What happened next?
Are you doing kebabs?
Who knows?
Who knows, Donna? Who knows? But thank you for the messaging.
Yeah, I hope that the next thing I find in my pocket isn't fish eyes. I'll be quite upset about that.
I did receive a nice message about my mention of Cara Trittin on QVC.
Oh, go on.
When I used to occasionally appear on QVC when I was about 10 years old. Oh my God, Tom, I loved Cara Trittin on QVC. My favorite thing was how she used to make the sinister looking porcelain dolls talk to each other. Starstruck. Oh. Love the pod, loved you all. Bye, 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 bye. And that's from Leanne in Norwich.
There
we
love.
Go. You see, people, these little moments, these little features we think no one will connect with.
But it goes do. To show.
There's always somebody out there.
There's always know. Someone out there. Mm-hmm. This is a lovely one. Hi, Tom and Susie. I listen to your show weekly, but this is my first time writing in. And I hope you find the topic interesting as it differs from your usual correspondence.
Okay.
I am a dungeon master for a group of players, and we play Dungeons and Dragons remotely every other week. So I don't know any of the people who live close to Keswick. For the uninitiated, a dragon master or brackets DM is the person who organizes and narrates the story in a Dungeons and Dragons game, controlling all aspects of the game world except for the player's characters. One of my players is trans, and we talk about how I might get more diverse people at my table as the rest of us are cisgendered straight men. She mentioned that many of her friends would be too anxious to play Dungeons and Dragons. There were several issues I think we all shared when playing the game with other humans. The one she mentioned I was surprised by. The main obstacle for them was that they were afraid to join a group of cisgendered white straight males. I can't blame her. It does sound very scary when you word it like that. It didn't stop me feeling overwhelmingly disappointed, like I would be doomed never to solve the seismic problem at my table, no matter how hard I try to be inclusive and promote a safe space and fun space for everyone. I would love to hear your advice of getting more diverse people to play at my table and what I could do to not alienate or intimidate anyone or to scare them away. Perhaps a Venn diagram of people who live in Keswick, want to play D&D and are not cisgendered white straight males may be non-existent. From the lonely DM in the village, Luke. Bye, 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 bye.
Luke, what an interesting, wonderful message.
Well, yes. Now, and Emma, our brilliant producer, has put a little note at the top saying when she's played Dungeons and Dragons, she's always found it to be the most inclusive and diverse group of people.
Oh, that's
so there's a big shout out to the D&D community always being lovely.
I am always really fascinated by how, I don't know what the term is for Dungeons and Dragons and that sort of thing, as in like, I want to say fantasy, but I don't know if that's the right, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like the game world.
I suppose it's a gaming world, isn't it? Yeah. And similarly with, I'm not saying it's the same, but with like sci-fi world, particularly I've known people from the Doctor Whoniverse.
Yes.
Who are queer people and I think have always felt very welcome there.
Yes, found it enormously inclusive.
However, that's not to say that this group or any group can be more inclusive.
Well, absolutely. But I don't know how you would, I mean, first of all, letting people know on this podcast, I'm sure we have lots of people.
I was going to say.
Listening who might enjoy it. So maybe that's something that you could reach out to, or even like, maybe like reaching out to, if you're on Instagram or something like that, like maybe an LGBTQIA plus group and saying, you know, Dungeons and Dragons is for everyone. If you're interested, here's a little bit more information.
I think so. I think, letting people know is probably the most fundamental thing, isn't it? And I suppose there's always that kind of leap into the unknown for anybody who feels like they might be on their own or might not feel welcome, just to sort of take that leap and kind of, if you feel like they're nice people, then, you know, take that leap and know that you will be welcomed. I know that's a brave thing to do, isn't it? But I sort of mentioned it in the sense we were saying earlier, if you acknowledge something, sometimes that makes it a bit easier.
Yes, I think so. But it sounds like you're doing I mean, how lovely to just hear from the lovely Luke that he's doing his best to make that community as inclusive as possible. I just love that. Nice one, Luke. Mm. You absolute bloody ledge.
That's literally a legend.
Literally a legend, a DM.
I'd say that because I imagine there's quite a lot of legends involved in Dungeons and Dragons.
I would say so, yeah. That would be my guess.
We went to Chislehurst Caves. Do you remember that, Suze?
Yeah, where the people were doing LARPing.
LARPing, that's live action
role play?
No. That was very interesting. I liked
that
it.
That was very interesting. People were really playful.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Really fun.
I liked it.
And very sweet people.
I like anything like that. Playful. And it's sort of outside of
the norm.
Mainstream. Yeah, and I like that.
Me too.
I like that. And I think people are kind. Well, my experience was they were very kind.
Yeah, I think so too. Also, I feel like it's probably the same for people that go to like Comic-Con.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, that's really become much more known about, isn't it?
Yeah, people are really into it.
I like the way that it's used in the Premier Inn advert. You know, all the people there are going to the Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's fun, isn't it? That means it's sort of gone mainstream, doesn't it?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
I always look back and lament the parts of growing up. And I suppose it's always coupled with the fact that I was just young and a bit insecure. But the fact that like when I was growing up, things like that would have seemed like, oh, sad. What? You're doing that? Oh my God. It would be such a like laughable thing. Whereas now I feel like that sort of enthusiasm and exuberance and literal sense of fun is to be embraced. Like I felt like growing up in the 90s, like how the idea of being too much fun was kind of
sad.
Not okay. Yeah. You had to be sort of like grungy
kind of
and
miserable, yeah.
Miserable all the time and kind of have this kind of angry energy to be acceptable. And I really resent that now.
Well, yeah. And I also think that it was a time when like any kind of enthusiasm was really not welcome.
Yeah, that's how it felt.
I remember like being excited for something and people being like, all right, Kino, you're keen. Oh my God, you're so keen. Being so like, oh my God, horrible. The idea of like looking forward to something is like, Like, here I am keen. I'm keen to go bowling. That's why I'm paying to go. I'm quite looking forward to going bowling.
It's my thing. Yeah. The idea of having a thing or being like, I love this and I do this every week. It was like, no, I mean, it's, I do it because like, you know, like I just...
Oh, my mum makes me. I've got to go. It's boring.
It's so boring. You know, like that sort of thing. Obviously, it's a safer space to be like emotionally.
Yeah.
I get that, that it's like safer to be negative about things.
But even so.
I just, yeah, it's very interesting as it was now. I think that's why I liked dressing up in Victorian clothing was my sort of way of going like, being like, well, I guess I'm just going to be this.
Yeah.
But I think that now I think I love the way that like drag is much more a thing, which when you think back to the, when we were at school, like.
Oh God. Yeah. People would have thought that was like, people would have been like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Don't even think about it.
Don't, it would have, in, you know, in that, in a monologue would have been very, very
loud.
Unhappy about that.
Loud and clear.
Yeah. Whereas now it's lovely and it's lovely to be, I've got a thing or, you know, like Alf has taught me, like, he loves Halloween. And he's like, so we should decorate the house and we should plan our outfits.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing, which was never really a thing for...
You should throw a Halloween party so that I can come.
I do like the idea of people in outfits. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fun. Mm. Right, Tom, we simply must go. We've run over as a
way. Oh, have we overrun? Gosh,
we've overrun. Well, listen, I hope you have a lovely day.
Well, you too, Suze.
Enjoy
and
that, enjoy that train ride.
Oh, thanks so much. Thank you.
Tom's going up to Manchester, and we were saying Manchester is the perfect journey for a train ride, I think.
Just right. It's just right.
Just right. Love it. Before we finish, Tom, I just want to say thank you.
Oh,
because
yes.
Our listeners, boy, did you deliver on me announcing the book. The
amount,
hundreds of people writing, oh my God, I had no idea. I can't begin to tell you. People were using Call the Midwife gifts. I was coming home from a gig and like, it made me both sort of laugh and then sort of, I had like tears in my eyes because I was so moved that like people had like, that people gave a shit. And so lots of you have already been in touch to say like, oh, we've pre-ordered it. And I'm really proud of it, but I'm also sort of, it's very honest and it's, I'm talking a lot about sort of anxiety, which if you listen to this show, you'll know, like, you know, but I go into it deeper than I probably ever have done before and talk about, you know, lots of things. And I just want to say thank you because I was just like, I was tickled pink. And then I was enormously moved by the amount of people that commented and the shocked faces. And it just made me smile from ear to ear. So thank you very much. I love you guys.
Well, we're all super proud of you. And I would recommend to the listeners, it's very good to pre-order a book. Is it available to pre-order yet?
It is available to pre-order now, yeah.
So if you are keen to experience Susie's wonderful book, pre-orders are good. I think it helps with the...
it helps with like the promotion, I think.
Promotion,
like
it makes it's can, like pre-order it.
Yeah, it helps people know about it, and it makes people go, "Oh, we should maybe order this book in because it's doing well." And then, also, what I really want to do is write another book. And I think if this one sells quite okay,
I'm sure you'll
be able to write another
book,
one.
Susie, don't
so that'd be nice. Okay.
I do.
All right then. Well, that's it from
all
us.
Right. Well, that's it, isn't it? Okay.
All
right.
See you later, my love.
See you later, everyone. Okay.
Bye.
Bye for now. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.